This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Part of the pod, yeah, you're going to join us at 125. I'm promoting the dog piss out of him, but you know he deserves it. There's no doubt about it.
When practice just started, it's go time.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
It's a
good time to have him on.
So he's going to join us at 125. But in the meantime, in between time, we talked a lot about college football.
That's right.
We have not talked, though, about football, Memphis football, women's football, because they are rolling, bro.
Man, shout out to you for stopping and
facts,
smelling the roses that is that Memphis women's soccer program.
Man, I
have
to.
Applause for Brooks and the women over at Memphis. Just picked up last night another win over an SEC program, 2-1 over Missouri. Now, we've told you about this, if you've been listening.
Yep.
This is setting up to be big because Memphis has got Memphis, which is now up to number 15 in the nation in terms of national ranking, start of the year unranked. It's got Iowa State this Sunday, and then next Thursday, I believe it is, number 2 Tennessee.
Man.
Coming up in here.
Man.
And this is the highest that Tennessee has ever been ranked in women's soccer in that U.S. national poll that Memphis is 15th in. And so we never get Memphis UT. We never get Memphis UT. UT doesn't want to play us.
They won't do it.
They won't do it. Well, they're doing it in soccer. And so long as we hold up our end of the bargain, man, you're looking at what should be two undefeateds and maybe two top 10 nationally ranked programs. It's just what Brooks has done and what he continues to do and how he does it so consistently.
Yep.
And even losing. I mean, he's losing players, too. He's graduating players. We've talked about the Canadian pipeline, but he is international. He's got players from Japan. And we said it earlier this week, kind of jokingly, what you're getting in terms of your investment in Brooks in terms of return. This is a national powerhouse in terms of a program with what it's done the last few seasons. And to be at, you know, have perhaps potentially your biggest regular season match ever ahead of you against Tennessee. It's going to be big whether they beat Iowa State or not.
Right.
They've knocked off all comers so far, 5-0-0, one of the best goal differentials in the country, and they'll get a chance to perhaps unseat maybe a number one ranked Tennessee team by the time it rolls around next Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, it's in terms of, you know, it's a non-revenue sport, so we know that off the rip. And just, you know, from a casual listener standpoint, Jason, you know, how much value a great, you know, women's or men's soccer team brings to the university, you know, it probably not much if we're going to be honest. But I think you just have to just marvel at, you know, the competitiveness of this program even before the NIL. I mean, they have competed and been just stellar in every way, even without resources. And I know they're getting some more now. They're getting some more resources coming. They're getting a new stadium. But I think you absolutely have to just marvel at, I mean, because it was probably, I mean, I don't know what it was before Brooks showed up, but I imagine not much. And not only is it much, it's one of the best in the entire country at a school with literally no women's soccer tradition. The fact that he's still here, the fact that they are continuing to build and that it's staying at this level, it's a unicorn, it feels like, in college athletics.
Yeah, I really hope I haven't jinxed it by looking ahead, and they took care of a good business against Missouri, so there's no reason to think that we have. But you know, to have an undefeated Memphis team that's knocked off, you know, a couple of SECs, a bunch of Power Four opponents up against the Tennessee. I think early this year, I think their big win was against North Carolina. It's what moved them to where they are at number two, helped move them up to where they are at number two. Now, if you got, you know, two undefeated programs right here in state,
yep,
two of the best in the country,
yep,
it's what we used to love about the Tennessee-Memphis matchup and what
absolutely
we loved about one and two. It won't just be us and the rest of the state in terms of attention on this one. In terms of women's soccer nationally, it'll have national eyes on it. And so, again, for Brooks to have built it to that level,
yep,
with where the resource – and you hope it's sort of like football where it's a deal where, listen, for too long there wasn't a high enough level of investment.
Yeah.
Right? And now you're coming to the table with more. You hope – you know, and deservedly so. They're past the time to have earned this. But you're hoping now with the new investment, too, they can take it even higher. And Brooks seems to just do that every year.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we're giving them their flowers because they – just about every time out, they go out and shine.
Well, this
and they did again last
night.
This
is what you have to settle for, right? In 2025, when you want to, you know, get Tennessee versus Memphis, you have to settle for the women's soccer matchup because you're not.
Shout out to their coach for playing it.
Yeah.
Because your other coaches within that program, we know one certainly has no intention of it with Rick Barnes, and Heupel's probably like, you know, same thing.
All
I
right.
mean, and we've said it. We've said it for the Arkansas and Mississippi State games that are on the Tigers football schedule. You'll definitely never get Tennessee in football now with the way their conference schedule is going to be set up with the nine games and then one, you know, Power Four opponent.
So, yes.
That will never happen. But thank you to Tennessee women's soccer for the opportunity.
By the way, we didn't talk about that, the Rick Barnes piece. He got a lifetime contract. Josh Pastner, you know, would love this. But Rick Barnes got a lifetime contract, which, by the way, just extremely, you know, silly announcement.
Come on, it's not silly.
Silly. He's going to retire in like a year. So, I mean,
it was to address that.
Right. It's like,
because he's getting asked that. You got to know that elite camp that Herb was just at with all the prospects, you know, every single dad or mom that came up to him was asking him, how much longer are you going to be here?
Yeah, he's old.
He's 71 years old.
Yeah.
And this is a response to that.
But it's like,
instead of him answering
though.
It individually, you know,
I'll be a coach here for the rest of my life. Come on, man. You're going to retire in like a year. You should retire. You're 71, dude.
Well, he's trying to get him over the hump. What's it been, two Elite Eights the last 2 years?
Well,
he's got to push through. I mean, it's about that now.
This is it. This is your last good chance. Because you got the kid, Ament. You got the top five pick. This is it.
Jeffrey asked me about this yesterday. I have a hard time hating on this dude, even though I don't like that he won't play Memphis, and I think that's weak. How can you hate on what he's done at Tennessee when most thought his best years were behind him?
Yeah.
And he's built it up to a level that's higher than Pearl had it. We never thought that was going to be the case.
No, that's true. I mean,
and he's done it, John, at a time where the sands are shifting. But, you know, as Penny told those attorneys yesterday, it's all transactional now. It's all about the money. It's not about, hey, I'm going to develop you and
what
be
was
a
that
good
about?
Daddy. He was Penny was at one of the I can go find it, but I think either CA or DM wrote about it. Either way, he was talking about the same things he said, is that it's all transactional now. But back to the point, he's continued to have success at a time where a lot of his peers his age have said, no, I'm not doing this anymore. My old school ways don't work. And so I can't do anything but respect that. This dude's adapted. And sure, maybe he's at the end where, yeah, a couple more years, because
right.
he is 71.
Right.
But I'm, dude, his change, the way he's been willing to adapt, I can't do nothing but respect it. I hate that he won't play Memphis. I hate that he looks down his nose
yeah.
at us.
Well, I'm sure that's also supported.
I can't hate the man, though.
You know, it's not just him. You know, he it's
I think that one's mostly him. Man.
No, you're right.
Because the AD knows Memphis comes there, fills it up. They come
right.
here, fills it up. It's good for both.
Just play
it
the
always
damn,
has been.
Play the last game. Play it in Nashville.
But
Let's
he
go.
Can use his whole Tubby
yeah.
friendship. Oh. Didn't like how they handled COVID. Well, you know, Penny with the
right.
fists. They're balling their fists.
That's right.
He can use that mess,
mm-hmm.
which I don't like that he does.
Right.
But I don't think I can hate on him as a man in terms of, man, the juice he brought back to the Tennessee program.
Mm-hmm.
How can you? They're you know.
Well,
you could say, well, they're never going to get him over the hump, Tennessee.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've never done that anyway.
If the Tennessee program never had any juice for the rest of my days, I would not mind
I get it.
It.
It's understood.
You know?
Yours comes from a Memphis perspective.
Right.
We hate orange.
Rick, like, if you're
that's
asking
what
me,
that's
if you're
about.
Asking me to come at this as the Field of 68
Let's
guy.
Field of 68 job Rick Barnes has done at
I mean,
Tennessee.
There's
go,
no
John.
Denying
you
how
can't.
Good a job he's done. I mean, because you're right. When he came in, you know, I don't think that the reviews were just unanimous.
I'm trying to find the people that thought it was going to be great and he's going to take it and be better than Pearl was.
Because he came in
there weren't
with
any.
The reputation that he always underachieves.
Yes.
I mean, he didn't get to a second weekend with
enough.
Kevin Durant. You know,
that's what we said.
And honestly, it was probably earned. I mean, he didn't. But for whatever reason, he's gotten to Tennessee. And here's the other part about it. It is coming to time. You talk about the shifting of the sands. The SEC has gotten significantly better in the time since he's taken over.
Throw that in there too.
I mean, how many NCAA tournament teams they have last year? A billion?
All of them except two.
South Carolina and LSU.
14 to 16.
Yeah. So, and he's finishing top three, top five consistently better. You know, in a lot of cases,
been number one.
So that's me coming at it. If I was hosting Field of 68,
and that's the appropriate.
I'm not on the Field of 68 right now. I'm on 99.
Well, it's because you're on your show and you can inject all your Memphis, you know, your blue colored glasses,
my Sycamore View views. Yeah. Facts.
And we don't like Rick Barnes over off Sycamore View.
I'm going to pitch that as a new segment: Sycamore View views from Sycamore View.
It sounds like an apartment complex over there.
That's right, and you had Greenbrook.
And the views of Sycamore View.
Right there on Sycamore View in Macon. Now,
Vista View.
Sycamore View is mostly from, mostly hotels. So you had the La Quinta. You had like the,
You're talking about coming back back north, though. Well, I thought you were talking about over there by Tops. And
so you get off the exit on Sycamore. This is how you get to my
house.
Which
way? Yeah.
So you get off Sycamore View, you take a right. You know, you go past what used to be Celebration
Station. You don't go down to where all the mess is.
You know, and then you take a right. You don't need to take a left. Take a right. Because left is going to take you out towards like Bartlett, right?
Right.
Pleasant View and all that.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a right. We're going to head towards Macon. We're going to take that. We're going to hit that left on
Macon. Macon right there.
And then on our left-hand side, you're going to pass Tops Barbecue.
Which
you know?
I know
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to
pass. Is there a Wendy's on the right?
There's absolutely a Wendy's.
Okay.
Don't forget Purple Diamond. You're going to pass the Purple Diamond, Brad's favorite establishment.
There's a strip joint right there?
Absolutely. Brad loves it. He sees it every day.
It's still there?
Oh, it's thriving, bro. Purple Diamond is thriving.
Never went into Purple Diamond all my travels.
I don't think I've ever been there. If I have been there, it was like a bachelor party, and we left very quickly after. It wasn't really popping. This would have been probably 10, 12 years ago.
See the gold all the time from just driving around 240, but never knew about the Purple Diamond.
That's right. So you hit that left, you pass the Tops, Wendy's Purple Diamond, Bass Pro Shop, before it was cool, right? The original joint. And then
that's the old one, yeah.
You'll take one of those lefts to the neighborhood.
Right.
And then, you know, you'll see like, the Canterbury used to be, it's gone through a billion different names. Thousand Oaks, Canterbury Woods, I don't know what it is, Arbor's. Yeah. You know, then you got Greenbrook, you know.
Yep.
And that's just, and then there was a street name that you were just always told to not go down. Oak Park. Avoid, it was like this long ass street there across Macon. You know, you just did not go on Oak Park, bro, because that's where the trouble was.
That's where a dude lived that took your mama's car after he beat you at basketball.
Well, he dropped it off at Greenbrook. You know, Greenbrook was just
was just to throw y'all off, though. He probably lived in that cove where they said don't go.
Maybe, but I just remember Oak Park being like, because all of it was like near neighboring apartments, you know what I mean? And just,
we know you used to go over to the pool.
I used to hit the pool up. We used to sneak into that. And that was the thrill. It was like, if you got caught or not, you know, you're just swimming in there waiting on the employee, you know, you're kind of scoping it out. They're going to come in here. Who are y'all with? Oh, my dad lives here. You know, you just make it up, you know? So that's all I did as a teenager. You know, I was a pretty good kid overall on the whole. But yeah, that was I don't know how quite we got. Oh, views from Sycamore View. Yeah, that was my upbringing.
Amazing. Now you just look out the door and look for hooligans like you used to be, seeing if they're coming onto your cove.
Oh yeah,
and get out of here.
Well, no, I got eyes for one. I'm waiting on one. I know exactly where he's gonna be though. So, one specific house.
Rocks throw.
You know he ain't coming near me. But yeah. Well, we're gonna start that segment, and the first subject will be Rick Barnes' tenure at Tennessee. That you love and hold in such high regard.
On his lifetime deal.
This is fake-ass lifetime contract.
You said Jay Wright's going to replace him next year. According to you, he's stepping down.
Who? It'll be interesting to see who they will go after.
Why not go after Jay Wright? Looks to me like he wants to be available. Are you going to be the assistant to the president? How long? No, that guy looks at a Rick Barnes and says, if he can do that at that age and change and adapt, why can't I come back as young as he is?
He'll get a better job than that.
Tennessee's good job is in the SEC
it's a good
now.
Job. No, it's a good job. I'm saying he can get the best job. He can get Carolina. He can get Duke. He can get all those jobs, you know. Kansas.
Carolina's a good call.
You know? Yeah, Carolina.
Hubert's on tonight.
He knows, man. He's like,
No, that's a good call.
$17 million
I didn't think. I didn't think about the Hubert situation.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's a top 15 job, I'd say, probably. Because they pay. They have unbelievable fan support. Like, you have everything you need there.
Oh, he's built it up.
You know, you. I mean, truly, the resources at Tennessee are outrageous.
No, I didn't think about UNC. It could come open. Really
but but he'll do it for like what, one or two more years, and then that's it, and he'll have this stupid lifetime. And does that mean he gets paid every year for the rest of his life by Tennessee?
I don't know, man. Dude might have more juice than you think.
Yeah, 71 though, I'd be like ready to live my enjoy my life. But you know, sometimes these guys, that this is the only way they can enjoy life. They'd get too bored if they didn't have this.
Yeah, why can't he just be Larry Brown and wants to be around at all of his?
He might be.
Yeah.
He truly. I mean, he doesn't look like an old 71. Yo, you think he does? I don't know. I kind of looked at him as a pretty young-looking 71, but maybe not.
We'll be joined next by Parth Upadhyay.
All right, so Parth's going to join us. He's outside. Oh, he's got a rope with him. We're going to have Parth Upadhyay and a rope.
Is that the new – it's the new big we got?
Yeah. We're looking forward to that. Stick around. Jason and John, how are you trying to film ESPN? I do want to apologize. A rope is not here. Was misled there. Parth Upadhyay is here with us like he is every single Friday at this time. And, yeah, it's busy in terms of arrivals, right? We got two of the three new players have arrived in Memphis.
Yeah, so that makes 14 of 15 total already in Memphis. That's Thierno Sila.
We got to figure that one out.
Obviously, Stephen F. Austin, transfer big man, and then Simon Majok, who was kind of the mystery man. You know, out there playing in Serbia, there was concerns about the visa and entry to the U.S., but all that's been taken care of, and those two guys are on campus, and now they wait on a rope, who had a flight delay and was stuck in Arkansas, he told me. He was stuck in Arkansas last night, so I feel for him there.
He's stuck in Arkansas?
He was stuck in Arkansas. I believe he's in the air as we speak.
Okay.
Should be landing.
Dude, you were on top of it.
But I'm trying to figure out how you get stuck in. Was he in Arkansas, like living?
I don't think he's from Dallas. He went to Columbia, right? That was his last school. So
how do you get stuck when you're in Dallas in Arkansas on the way to Memphis?
I didn't get that either. I texted him
because you know we have directs.
No. I followed up on that. I was like, wait. So were you flying from Dallas or were you flying from New York City? Like, I don't know if he had just cleaned out his apartment in NYC and is coming straight from there. I don't know. Right.
I've never heard of a connecting flight in Arkansas.
Arkansas? Is there even an airport in Arkansas?
From or to Memphis?
What's the airport in Arkansas?
I can only think of Little Rock.
There's an airport.
Of course, bro.
Okay. No disrespect to any of our Arkansas.
You think Arkansas is a whole state with no airport, bro?
I haven't spent much time in Arkansas, man.
Well, there's
not
really no reason to, honestly, unless you're a rope. So he's stranded in Arkansas. Hopefully somebody goes and picks him up.
Hopefully.
And then when he gets here, it'll be 15 out of 15.
15 out of 15, yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about these three new players. How many of them will, if you had to wager, how many of them will be real contributors next season?
One. I think one.
Just one?
Yeah, out of the three. I mean.
When you say one, will the other two even see the floor?
I don't think so. I think we'll see, like, early on. But there's really no. It's not a lot of bye games, right? Not a lot of time to test things out. But when there's opportunities to test lineups out, maybe an exhibition play or whatever, I think you're going to see all three guys hit the floor. But, you know, when things settle in, when you're, you know, playing Purdue in the Bahamas, when you're at Louisville, when you're going to Mississippi State and Ole Miss, I think it's gonna be one of those three bigs, right? And then the other nine guys that we've discussed in front of them.
Yeah.
You have a very interesting story posted up at the Daily Memphian right now. That I'm not sure is anywhere else. I've only seen it with you. And Penny Hardaway was a member of a panel hosted by the Memphis Bar Association, if I'm correct.
Correct.
If I'm correct. Okay. And was a panelist on this at this panel and spoke on name, image, and likeness, its impact in college athletics, something Penny's talked about before. But you had some quotes from him that I found very interesting, really direct. Some stuff about what stood out to you most about what Penny said. You were there to cover it.
Yeah, so just to give our listeners some more context, it was a panel hosted by the Memphis Bar Association at the Lori Walton Family Basketball Center. It was Penny, Arthur Horn, who we all know now, right? Memphis-based attorney representing Sincere Parker, Melanie Murray, who's the University of Memphis General Counsel, Tanera Gibson, who's the City of Memphis's chief legal officer. And then there was Professor Linda Black, who teaches at the School of Law over there at the U of M. So it was Penny and those four either practicing lawyers or, you know, or law professors. And they were basically talking to members of the Memphis Bar Association about the legal aspects of NIL, about revenue share, about how all this works and how, you know, the legalities come into play and the lack of regulation. And I think, you know, Penny's always unfiltered, but he was especially comfortable yesterday. He's kind of had the mic and, you know, was really engaging with the crowd too. Like, I'll read some of these quotes in a second, but the crowd was, you know, liking it and he was feeding off their energy. This one in particular stands out. So I think the question, if I'm not mistaken, was, you know, what are the challenges, right, that come with athletes getting, you know, well over six figures now in most cases, right? Sometimes north of $1 million, $2 million. And this is what he said. He said, I mean, you've got 20-year-olds making $900,000 living at the residence, or I'm sorry, living at the Landing downtown on the river, paying $5K a month in rent and driving a six-figure car. They're coming to a game, losing the game, and then going, okay, well, I still have $900,000. I'm still going back to the Landing where I can overlook the river, and I'm still going to drive a Mercedes-Benz truck, is what Penny said. It's a hell of a quote.
That's an unbelievable quote because you're right. Penny's been transparent before in terms of talking about how transactional things have become. But when you're talking about, you know, how a guy feels after losing a game because he's so paid and how difficult, because I can sense his frustration through how difficult that must be to coach, you know, when you've got guys that where the losing isn't hitting them as hard as it is the coach because they've got a bank account full of money now. I mean, that's for sure. You're coaching NBA guys in a way.
Yeah.
And you can sense his frustration coming out in that.
Yeah.
Wow. Wonder who, you know, said they're losing the game.
Sounded very specific, right?
Man, it sounded like he was talking about a specific
instance. Age of the player.
I mean, he's even talking about which apartment, you know, which
salary of said player,
where they live
and
all that stuff. I mean, I think we've said that.
Vehicle as well.
Who had a Mercedes Benz?
And I'm going to drive a Mercedes Benz truck.
Yeah. I'm going to drive a Mercedes Benz truck.
That's the end of the quote.
Quarterly?
Said where he's staying and everything.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, I mean, I will say, like, I think had it not been for this expected and anticipated influx of cash next year, I think there would have been a real world where Penny walks away after this year just because of how difficult it gets. But he's getting more money now, so I expect 2026-27 to be back to competing for the kind of players we're used to Memphis competing for.
I mean, I heard y'all talking about this, 2 days ago or whatever, about the kind of pendulum swinging back, and you would hope so because, you know, this is the start of inequity, so to speak, for Memphis basketball. It's not a good sign at all.
Well, let's see how it goes. I mean, I do think, like, based, you know, given their constraints, I still think they fielded a pretty damn good roster at the top. I think it's, you know, and even through the middle, like, we don't even talk about a guy like Quante Berry, but he was a double-figure scorer for Temple last year. That's not like a jabroni, you know.
Proven player conference.
We sit here and we talk about the 13th, 14th, 15th guy. They averaged 2 points a game at Stephen F. Austin. You know, this guy did put
4-4 in the Big 12.
Yeah, he did put up like 15 against Memphis.
For sure.
You know, Quante Berry
and
it was a big part of why they had an upset bid chance here in Memphis.
I think he'll be a fixture in that rotation. Undoubtedly.
Yeah, and then you got him. You got Curtis Givens coming off the bench or starting, depending on what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you actually have, you know, 6-7 guys that I feel like will, you know, fare very well against, you know, the kind of competition that you'll see. It's just like, you know, you get to 8-9, it starts to get kind of dicey. And your big play is very questionable.
I think it's more so roster fit, right? Like, in terms of, like, how do these pieces go together?
Yes.
Who plays with who? That's
well,
those
they
are the main questions.
I mean, that's where it killed them, right? They couldn't afford another big. They needed another great big, and they could only get one. I mean, and that's questionable, even. And Aaron Bradshaw.
It's somebody that's unproven, certainly.
I don't know that the sentiment around Memphis basketball right now is that Aaron Bradshaw is in line to have a great year. You know, I don't get that sense.
Is that just kind of reading between the lines?
Yeah, I just don't get, I just don't get the sense that he's, you know, I haven't heard I haven't heard great things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just he's one where you look at his stops and you just kind of wonder, like, why hasn't it clicked? Now, sometimes guys come here and it clicks. So it can happen.
For sure.
But I think that's where you really got hurt and hit with the lack of money is in the front court.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think even, like, the top-end talent, you're right, is good. Like, Doug McDaniel's a great player, obviously. Zach Davis could have a breakout year. But you don't have, like, the you know, sharpie this guy in to get 20 a game type player that you had with PJ Haggerty, that you had with Kendrick Davis, right? Even David Jones, that was a surprise, but, you know, you had a guy in that season too that you could just kind of sharpie in, hey, this is going to be our guy, our alpha. Who is that in this team? Like, probably Doug, right? Doug McDaniel or Sincere Parker, but...
I mean, you got guys, man. I mean, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, I don't know how it all looks, but you are like, you know, in a vacuum, one by one by one, you got a ton of worse roster around the country, you know, than the one Memphis has.
For sure. And this one's, you know, I think we've talked about this, but it's ranked 45th in terms of the portal class that Memphis brought in. So it is on paper,
right?
Penny's worst, right? Quote unquote worst roster on paper. Yeah. But
I wish, like,
there's a lot of hidden gems here.
I wish budgets were like, public record, you know,
instead just of putting, like, a FOIA request.
Yeah, I honestly feel like chasing this stuff around is like, you hear a billion different things, like, oh, this team has, one day this team will have money, and then the next day they have no money.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, come on, like, once upon a time Memphis had money, now they don't have money, and they kind of have money, they don't. So it's like, I'd love to know, because it would just really, I think, help us. It would be very instructive in, you know, because like that USF football rumor that somebody posted about Vanini, they apparently are now tops in the American, according to him.
Well, we saw what happened last night. Yeah.
And, you know, it could be true, it could not be true, but it would help, I think, transparency around the country if we just had what's everybody's rev share distribution. You know, that way it'll help us sort of grade every team's performance. Because if Memphis has the 70th budget in the country, I don't know that they do, I doubt they do, but if they do, and they have the 45th ranked transfer class, Penny's overachieving. Mm-hmm. If they have the 35th best budget, but they only have the four, you know, I think, but we're never going to get that, Jason.
He spoke directly about losing P.J. Haggerty, Parth?
Yeah, he wasn't even
your story as well.
Yeah, he wasn't even asked about P.J. Haggerty. So unprompted, I'm trying to think of what question got that response out of him. But as he was talking about kind of the changes he's had to go through from 2018 when he got the job to now, he kind of went through, I think he broke it down in three eras, right? Like the first one being traditional recruiting. You go to a guy's living room when he's in high school. You build that relationship for years. And then he comes to your program and you've got him for two, three, sometimes 4 years. And then he talked about how everything kind of changed. I want to say he said after 2019 or so, slightly, and then it really changed after COVID and after the inception of NIL. But the example he gave was P.J. Haggerty, and I just read the quote here. He said, "We had P.J. Haggerty and we gave him a substantial amount of money. Kansas State said, we want you more. We'll give you more money. We could have matched that, but he decided to go to Kansas State. So that's the world we live in now," he says.
I can sense his frustration through it. You're gonna match the offer, which we thought. And John, you'd essentially said, and didn't we say maybe even exceed the offer?
Yeah, I think he's
and you still don't
selling himself a little bit short there too.
You helped make an All American and who needs to be a point guard for the NBA.
Yep.
You're Mr. Point Guard, and he's still not coming back. Like, that would make me want to.
Absolutely.
I'm just gonna say step away.
Yep.
That would make me say, just as if I'm in Penny's shoes. Being a college basketball, I don't have anything to prove to anybody because I'm already a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
This has gotten too crazy for me. I would want to, you know, that would frustrate me to the point I would want to step away. It's amazing to me, Parth, if I'm going to frame this into question, that he still seems so, you know, willing, you know,
energized,
motivated to skin this cat, motivated to get it done.
No, if you're a Tigers fan, you got to love the mindset. I mean, look at this, even this last quote I thought was inspiring, and The crowd was obviously eating it up. You know, you got the Memphis Bar Association. A lot of them are Tigers fans, of course.
Yep.
So I think one of the final topics he addressed was just kind of the overview of it all, the challenges, how he's handled it in this era of NIL and now rev share. And he said, it's a challenge. This is a quote. He said, it's a challenge because they're paid athletes now, but they still want to be treated like they're not. I'm like, no, you're being paid now. Things have changed. The money changed for y'all? Okay. The discipline and everything else that goes along with that, to me, tightens up. That's what Penny Hardaway said.
Yep.
That kind of shows you that mindset shift, right? Like from 2 years ago where he was a little bit more lax, player's coach, which he still is, but maybe leaning too much into that player's coach, kind of being
By the way, they're still cool supposed to go to class.
They are. They are supposed to go. Or
how do you get them to go to class when they're telling you, man, I'm going down to the river to go to my apartment. I got all this money in my bank and driving my Mercedes-Benz truck down.
Dead ass. Well, even when I was in school and I was starting to get that commercial appeal money when I got on as the recruiting reporter and I was still in school.
You stopped going to class?
Bro, I'd be like, man, I don't need this. I'm doing it. What am I going to class for? I'm doing what I want to do. And I was not making anywhere remotely close to what these guys are being paid. I'm not going to class. You can kiss my ass. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, if it's contingent on me still getting paid, I guess I'd go. you know, and that probably is a part of the NIL deal. It's like, you know, for me, it wasn't. For me, it was like, I'm getting paid professionally by the commercial appeal. Why do I need to go to a journalism class?
Dude, times are so different now, even compared to when I was in school. I graduated undergrad 2020. Started at NC State, and I took a summer calc class that I needed to get to matriculate or try to matriculate in engineering at the time. And Nyheim Hines was in, you know, the running back.
Yeah,
he's played for the Bills, I believe.
I think he's on somewhere now. He's still hanging around.
Yeah, but he was in my summer. It's just an example. So I would see him. When I went to UNC, you'd see guys like Nasir Little and Kobe White, like, just walking around campus. It was normal, right? And nowadays, they're like such in a different bubble. They're not even part of that campus community, it seems like. And it's not just a Memphis issue, it's an everywhere issue.
North Carolina players never go to class. That's what y'all
saw
do.
Them on campus with backpacks on, man. Saw them on campus.
Fake classes.
great spin job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never saw a North Carolina football player in class. Well, duh.
Sound like we need to check your credentials.
They don't go.
Like maybe you were in the fake class with them.
I did not take the
summer camp.
I'm gonna send you an article.
African American Studies. I did not take that.
I'm gonna send you an article. You seem unfamiliar with the history of academics.
I'm very familiar.
He's like, they just don't go to class. Right. It's a different community. No, bro, they don't go to school there. All right, it's all fake. I mean, it's just it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, I in my time, I did have a class, weirdly, with Ron Leary in journalism. Remember him? He was the offensive lineman for the Tiger football team. Ended up being a cowboy for a long time.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I did have a class with him, a journalism class. I mean, he never said anything, but his big ass was there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't miss him, you know. So I remember that, and that's about it, you know. So, I don't remember any basketball players I was ever in a class with. At the University of Memphis. So,
but Joe at White Station.
Joe at White Station. He definitely did go to class.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Joe Jackson.
Awesome. Joe Jackson. I remember, like, I tell the story all the time. I was in 11th grade. He was in 10th, and he was in 11th grade chemistry. And he, like, for some reason, we were sitting next to each other, and we struck up, like, you know, a little bit of a weird, you know, friendship in there. And he was like, "Yeah, man, I went to Ole Miss this weekend." I'm like, you know, I'm dumb. I don't know. I'm like, what the hell were you doing at Ole Miss this weekend, bro? You're in the 10th grade, and you're like 5'8". You know what? And then I found out he's freaking Joe Jackson, McDonald's All-American, most recruited guy in Memphis in
like
a long
top
time.
Top 10 in the same class as Kyrie.
Yeah, I think
that year.
People forget about him, man.
Dude.
He doesn't get talked about enough.
Your boy John Wall was on a COVID Zoom or whatever and was still raving about playing Joe in one of those games. Yeah.
Wow.
Because, I mean, he used to really be like that. Yep. I mean, especially at White Station when it was just all the Joe Jackson show. Bro, that was cinema.
Bro, I saw an NBA camp, I think it was top 100 camp with Willie Kemp, Steph, and who was the Paul at Syracuse? Paul Harris? Do you remember
Is
him?
He a He's player?
Like, they would have been, yeah. It was like a five-star, I guess this is for y'all. It was like a five-star guard went up there, but never, I don't even think got drafted.
I don't
Paul
remember
Harris.
Syracuse.
Yeah. I think Boeheim had him up at Syracuse. My point was, it's Paul Harris, Willie Kemp, who's now the coach of Whitehaven, played for the Tigers, but was a stud at Baller, and then Steph Curry sitting over there, greatest shooter of all time. They were all together, and it's just crazy to see.
Yeah, that was Paul Harris.
I think at that time, Paul Harris, of the three guys, he was the one that was supposed to, he was like 6'4", 200-something pounds.
Yes.
And Willie Kemp and Steph are still, you know, small guys.
Yes.
He was the one that back then we thought, all right, he's going to be the NBA stud, but it's crazy to see them all in that same picture.
Yeah, he had a bunch of off-the-court stuff, and then
I think never got drafted.
Never.
But the dude was a five-star, man.
Did not get drafted.
He was a grown man when he got to Syracuse.
He shot 5% from three as a freshman.
5%?
Oh, he's an absolute bust. But as a prospect, he was highly rated. He was in this top 100 camp with Stephen, with Willie Kemp, crazy enough.
Honestly, that's a hell of a pool. Paul Harris.
Yeah, same year. It must have been the same year. It came up same time as Steph and Willie Kemp.
2006 was his freshman year at Syracuse. So
still, it was 5-star, but it was an absolute bust.
But, you know, you have a lot of guys like that. You know, like, I'm sure anybody in that camp would have said Paul Harris, a bona fide top 5 pick.
Dude, Willie Kemp was at that camp.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's how highly
was,
thought of
was Willie
out
Kemp.
Of Bolivar. He was that
Kemp
dude. He was one of them highly ranked
high
dudes
school?
Out of Bolivar with the big that went to Tennessee. What's my guy?
Wayne Chisholm.
Wayne.
You know, it is amazing that you know, how different the college game is from high school. You know, like, you can because you have to really be able to play your game in a system
in college. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, for sure.
Whereas when you're in high school, it's kind of just like go hoop.
Yeah, roll the ball out and go. Yeah,
and you can be like, how many great hoopers are there? Tons of great hoopers,
no doubt.
But how many guys like can convert?
Can reel that game in. yes. into a role, into a system, into like, a larger.
Doug McDaniel yeah. feels like a hooper. You know what I mean? Like he's
that's great for Penny system, right? Like that's what
we got to have. Some hoopers
thrive.
He keeps one of those.
Kendrick Davis, PJ Haggerty, David Jump. Like
that's right.
Those are the kind of guys that thrive in Penny system, and I think
Amani Bates.
Yeah.
But it didn't work.
Yeah.
It did. But yeah.
Tried to force him.
One thing Penny going to do is have him a hooper or two, you know.
That's right.
And so it should be a fun year. Almost everybody is here. By the time we talk next week, hopefully Oropa will have made it.
Well, they announced his signing 10 minutes ago.
All right, there
Memphis
you go.
Memphis basketball. So he
That's good stuff.
He has put pen to paper.
Let's go.
It's official.
Let's go. He is part of the podcast. Read him at DailyMemphian.com.
Great stuff, bro.
Friday.
Appreciate
you. Here on the show. Yep. We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John, Adichana FM. Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you Welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You got more choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They got an enormous collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. They make custom design in your engagement ring risk-free and easy. And you get that peace of mind with that meant-to-be guarantee, which means you buy the loose diamond, custom-made engagement ring. You got 365 days to bring it back if you need to. Hopefully you don't need to, but if you do, Howie and the good folks over there at Robert Irwin Jewelers have you covered. Nobody else in Memphis is offering this. Get over to Robert Irwin Jewelers today.
Go see how he's been doing this, he and his family, for 40-plus years. It's going to be the best jewelry shopping experience of your life, I know from personal experience. If you're looking to get that yes, from that significant other, you go see Howie for that engagement ring. He can do it from a picture. He can do it from an idea in our mind. They can create that ring. Go over and see our man. He can take care of you, all kinds of financing options. Just get over to Robert Irwin Jewelers. They're at rijewelers.com.
By the way, I saw Chris Lowe. Is out at ESPN.
Stepping away.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he out or?
Whatever. He's leaving. Okay. Or how, you know, you never know what the real truth is, whether he's fired or leaving. I think he did say maybe he's leaving on his own, but where's he going? I mean, you just, you know, you're going to leave with nothing else. Like, or were you put out? I don't know. Either way, What a run for him. He's been there for forever, 20 years.
Yeah, an institution in many ways.
Yeah, you hate to see that.
Interesting.
You just worry like the written content kind of going away at ESPN maybe. I don't know. I don't want to assume. It could be nothing.
I mean, it certainly, they don't give you extra when it comes to that anymore. It felt like that, like what you were getting with the Insider and all that, some of their writers, you know, some of the best stuff. It doesn't feel like you get that same level of product. Maybe they're no longer, you know, maybe those weren't getting the clicks anymore.
Who knows? Anyway, did see that news over the weekend. It should be a fun weekend of college football. Got Texas, Ohio State, Memphis, Chattanooga. We'll be breaking it all down here on Monday. So have yourselves a beautiful weekend. Thanks for rocking with us this week. Shout out to Sam, intern Sam, for being in this week.
I'm going
to
give you a day off Monday.
Yeah, we'll be doing it
awesome.
Tuesday.
Awesome. Right. I'll be recovering on Monday from that Texas beatdown that Ohio State's going to put on them. That's what's going to happen.
Caleb you might have Downs, spoken the picks. Texas wind into existence now.
We'll I don't see. Need a win. I just need a loss by two or a win, you know, to be clear.
Two.
Yeah, I got 2.5. So you can do the two-point conversion at the end of the there regulation. All right. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Parthi Podiak for joining us. Thanks to Anthony Sain as well. Jeffrey and company, I'm next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.